Tonight, we will be focused on 1 John chapter 5, and then we will look at 1 John chapter 3. If somebody can read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, and then you can stop right there.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also, that he is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And these are three, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things I have written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. And if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him.
Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. We bless your name. Truly, you are God, all by yourself, and besides you, there's none other. We exalt you, O God. We extol you. There's no one, nobody that can compare to you. You're all powerful. You're all knowing. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient, Lord God. You're touched with what we've gone through this day, through this week, O God, even this hour. God, you know everything. You know what we're going through. And God, we thank you, because it was David that said, Lord, our souls know right well, oh God, that we are your children, that you are our creator. Lord, you said you formed us even in the belly of the womb. You formed us. You knew us, oh God. We were formed and fashioned, oh God, curiously wrought, oh God, even before we came out of the womb. So we thank you. We bless you and we praise you. That knowledge is too high. It's too wonderful. It's too deep, oh God. If we make our bed in hell, you are there. If we ascend into the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. If we go into the high mountains, oh God, even there, oh God, you will be with us. There's nowhere we can go to escape your presence. So God, we pray that you have your way on tonight, on this call, in this Bible study. We pray that your word will go forth with unction, even to our hearts. God, whatever we're going through, oh God, even on tonight, even sin in our lives, we pray, oh God, for just your conviction, your examination, oh God, but most of all, your love, that we will grow closer to you. God, we love you and we bless you. Crucify my flesh, even tonight, oh God, even from tangents, oh God. You say, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. God, we pray that we will be led by your Spirit and not by what we think or what we feel. God, we love you and we bless you, for it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 We are in the book of 1 John chapter 5. And just to give a little background to the book of 1 John, it's the same John that wrote the gospel of the book of John. It's the same John. And I believe I read that he outlived all of the other disciples. And he was very old, even at the time of his writing, but he still was reminded of the mission to witness to those that were lost for Christ. And here in this book of John, book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he was writing to believers to strengthen them, to encourage them because of a faith failure. Because of faith failure, their faith was low. And we're going to talk about faith, right? We're going to talk about a faith failure. But because their faith was low, they were giving heed to the spirit of narcissism. And in that spirit of narcissism, they were giving heed, giving up. And listen, and I'm going to tell you what was going on in this church. What was going on to these believers and a lot of people, the place of writing was places John at Ephesus when he wrote this. And this letter that he wrote was circulating, right, to the various churches in the vicinity of Ephesus. Amen? So he was writing from Ephesus, but the letter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, was going out and being circulated through the churches because people were giving up, right? People were losing faith. And people were giving heed to seducing spirits that was coming in. And there was a spirit of narcissism, right? There was a spirit of narcissism that said, anything that's in the flesh can't be God. So they were saying Jesus was not God, he was man. And so that's why over and over again, John refers to Christ, Jesus, as being Christ. As Jesus being the word of God, as Jesus being the Lord. They were saying Christ came upon him when he was baptized. They heard the voice. When Jesus Christ was baptized, and we're going to get there, right? There was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, right? And they said that's when he received the Christ. But then they said, the fact that he was crucified, because they witnessed the miracles and everything, and they agree with that. But then when he was crucified, they said he couldn't be God. He couldn't be all God because he died as a man. And so they were saying at the point of crucifixion, he lost his deity. He lost his Christ. And that was the spirit of narcissism. And the spirit of narcissism says that knowledge, knowing, cranium knowledge is the key to eternal life. And we know that's not the case. Because the Bible says, by grace are we saved through faith. It's faith, not knowledge. Amen? There's a difference of knowledge and knowing. A lot of times when we see the word knowing in the Bible, is referring to knowing, an intimate knowing. And he knew his wife. And that's what we're talking about, an intimate knowledge. But there was their knowledge, the narcissism knowledge, did not have an intimate connotation, but it was talking about smarts. How smart you are, what you know, that's your equation to salvation. So they were off, and that spirit is still alive and well, the spirit of the Antichrist, John talks about that in this book. That is still alive and well as well. Amen? And what it was causing, because they were having a faith failure, it was like, let's eat, drink, be merry, because guess what? In the end, we all sleep. So there was a level of carnality coming into these believers that John was writing to. And that's why he says here, First John chapter 2, he says, I've written. And notice, all these things he says, I've written to you. I write unto you. I write unto you. That's the word of God, right? And in verse 7 in chapter 2, he says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have from the beginning. The commandment, which is the word which you have heard from the beginning, right? And then in verse 14, he says, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. I've written. When you see I've written in the Bible, when you see the word I've written, and when Jesus said it is written, pay attention to that, because that's the word. That's the very word of God. And the very word of God to be imputed and imparted unto us, that we need to take heed of that. And so when he says, I've written these things unto you because you are strong, the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And then he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so he was letting them know the distinction. We have to be crucified to this carnal life, to this carnal life. We have to be crucified to worldly living. And I'm telling you, I've never seen it. I've never seen a time. And I say it, I know it, I'm going to say it again. We got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. And it's like the people in church, well, we want something for us to hold on into the world. So we got the world in one hand, right? And we got the church in one hand. And I'm telling you, there's a spirit of carnality. We ain't got to talk about the world. Let's talk about the church. There's a spirit of carnality creeping into the church. And we want to do what the world does. We want to behave like the world behaves. We want to mimic what the world is doing. And there's no distinction. There's no separation. Can't nobody tell that there's a difference in my life? There's something wrong with that. Amen. And we have to know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what was going on. This is what John was preaching against in these churches. And here we talk about it is written. Let's go back to our text, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 says this. These things have I written. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Tonight we're going to be looking at the basis of this John chapter 5. Actually, listen. Verse 13 in 1 John chapter 5, it is a climatic verse for the entire book of John, for the entire book of John, 1 John, not John 2 and 3, but for 1 John chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. This verse 13 is a summarizing verse for why John wrote the book of 1 John. Amen. So when he says here in 1 John 5:13, these things have I what? Written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. That you may know, when he says that you may know, that knowing is not a brainium, a mind or a mental knowledge, but it's talking about that you may know in your spirit, in your heart, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And what he's doing, listen, somebody might say, well, Pastor, we already know we saved, right? But no, we need the assurance. We need the assurance, and we need the confidence of our salvation. Because a lot of times we live our lives in doubt. We live our lives in fear. We live our lives in depression. We live our lives in just guessing or muddling our way through. God does not want us muddling through life. He does not want us living life like, well, I don't know, I guess. I'm not sure. We're making it. Yes, he wants us to be meek. Yes, he wants us to be humble. But if you notice, and he says, I've written these things that you may know that you may have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And in verse 14, he says, and this is the what? Confidence. Listen, I ain't got no confidence in me. Take no confidence in the flesh. But my confidence is only in Jesus Christ. John wrote this for our salvation, that we may lay hold unto eternal life, that we may lay hold unto confidence in Jesus Christ. He said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will. First of all, you got to know his will. Amen. First of all, it's got to please you to do his will. It's about God's will. It's not about you and what you want, but it's about God and his will, that you that if we ask anything according to his will, that he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever thing we ask, we know that we have the petitions that are desired of him. And so this was the reason why he was assuring our victory. He was assuring our confidence. He was assuring our steadfastness in our salvation, that we might continue to walk victoriously in this life. Amen. We have already overcome this world. And so many people walk as if they have defeated lives. Amen. We have to walk in victory. We got to hold our heads up high, not in us, but in knowing what Christ has done for us. And so our theme, one of our themes for the month is the victory that overcometh the world. And if we can skip back to the beginning of this chapter 5, but before we go to the beginning of this chapter, right, when he says, these things have I written unto you, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Turn to John chapter 15. Remember, he keeps saying, these things have I written unto you. When he writes those things unto us, they're not just what he was thinking, but it's the inspired word of God. It's what God told him to write. First John chapter 15, the book of John, Gospel, John chapter 15, verse 9.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy
These things have I spoken unto you, that what?
My joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be filled.
All right. So that my joy might remain in us, and that my joy, that your joy might be full. Right? And I'm telling y'all, listen, and I know we've talked about it before. We talked about my cup runneth over. And the reason why we live defeated lives, right, is because we're not intimate in this word of God. When the Bible talks about it in Ephesians chapter 3, right, he said, Paul said, my prayer for you, that you might be strengthened where? In the what? Inner man. That you might know the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of the love of Jesus Christ that passes what? Knowledge, that you might be what? Filled. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. But that you might be filled. We've got to be filled. We have to lay hold unto this word of God. And the reason why people are not blessed around us, the reason why our witness is not shining is because, you know, we're walking around on fumes. We're walking around bankrupt. We don't hide the word. We have to hide the word of God in our hearts. And I'm telling y'all, listen, the hardest thing we have to overcome. But listen, my biggest problem, I can share y'all with my problem, right? My biggest problem with getting in the word is getting started, right? My biggest problem is in getting in prayer is getting started. And I know sometimes I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like, but guess what? There's a layer of flesh. There's a layer of distractions that sometimes even, listen, and we talked about it, Minister Williams has talked about it, I even talked about it. You can get down on your knees to pray, and you think about everything else you got to do, you ain't even praying. Some people think about something they don't need to be thinking about. But you got to refocus and get through the layer, the battle, the barrier of this flesh. The Bible says the carnal mind is what? Enmity against the things of God. It's not subject. Our flesh hates the word. Y'all know that? Our flesh hates God. Guess what? You got to tell your flesh to sit down and shut up. Amen. When you're fasting, you got, who's the boss? Your flesh or Jesus Christ? You got to tell your flesh to take a back seat. But once you get past, and sometimes it might take 10 minutes for me to meditate, for me to focus and get past this layer. And once I get locked into the word of God, man, I'm telling you, I get lost. I get lost. And I think about the disciples when they were on Emmaus Road. As they walk and talk with Jesus Christ, they said what? Did not our hearts what? And I've been there. And listen, anybody ever been there where you really just gotten the word by yourself for 20 minutes, 25 minutes? God spoke to you. He showed you you. And the word just started burning in your heart. Word got good. The tears might have been, and sometimes I've gotten in the word in the morning, gotten on 95, and the tears will begin to fall. Listen, that's an intimacy. That's a personal relationship. When we read David, Psalms 51, Psalms 32, Psalms 46, we see an intimacy that David had. We've got to get intimate with the word of God. Amen. Let's turn back to chapter 5, right? Chapter 5. Listen, when he says, by this, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and what? Keep his commandments. But he starts with love. He says, we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Amen. And what verse 1 says, everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. We love God and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God that we what? It says it again, that we keep his commandments and his commandments are no longer grievous. Because we're in love. We're not doing it out of hard work, bondage, and slavery, but we're doing it out of a love relationship. Amen? And this is how we grow in faith as we grow in love. You're not going to grow in faith without growing in love. First thing is, we grow in faith as we grow in love. And the title, this is the victory that we have. Amen. This is the victory that we have. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Right? And so when he says it, we gotta love. We gotta be in love. When you in love, when somebody thought they was in love, They was head over heels in love, right? You did some foolish things in the name of love. And just a thing, that wasn't even real love. But now you have real love. His name is Jesus Christ. And because of that love relationship, because he loved you unconditionally, guess what? You don't mind keeping his commandments because they're not grievous. It's a love relationship that we have now. Amen. It's unconditional. And we're going to get there, y'all. Somebody say, we're going to get there. We're going to get there tonight. We're going to get there. Amen. And so we talk about this is a victory that overcometh the world. And this is the assurance that we have, right? We have to be in love. We've got to be in love. And when we love God, we will keep his commandments. And his commandments will not be burdensome. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it starts with love. You won't die to yourself without being in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. You won't mind dying. You won't mind going when you're in love. Amen. And so when we talk about this love, right, and we can go down to verse, we're going to go back down. Well, first of all, let's read verse 6. Verse 6 says, this is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Right? It's the Spirit that beareth witness. We have a witness, and it's the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. So John was wanting us to know, these things have I written that you may have confidence and assurance, right? And so he talks about the witness. And there are three that, listen, let's talk about the witness. For there are three that bear record in heaven, or actually three that beareth witness. That record means witness in heaven, which is the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. Those are the three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? They are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Amen. And when he talks about the witness, when he talks about these three, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, right? When he says the first witness is the water, Jesus came by the water and blood. The water refers to his baptism in Jordan, where the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the first witness. Amen. That was the witness from the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Validating the Son. Amen. That was the witness. That was God. The second witness was by the blood. Amen. And the Father gave further witness as the time drew near for Jesus to die. When Jesus said, and y'all remember in John chapter 12, when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. There came a voice from heaven. Some said it lightning. Some said it thunder. Right? He said, I have glorified him, and I will glorify him again. And furthermore, the Father gave witness and miracle power when Jesus died on the cross. Because we see the witness of the earth. It got dark. There was an earthquake. The rocks rent. So that was the Father, again, bearing witness of the blood. So there was witness of the water when he was baptized. There was witness of the blood by the Father when he died on the cross. And the third witness was by the Spirit. The Spirit was given to bear witness to Christ in John 15:26 and 16:14, John 16:14. And we can trust the Spirit's witness because he is the Spirit of truth. So we were not present at his baptism. Y'all hear me out. We were not there when Christ got baptized. We were not there when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But guess what? When he died, he was buried in the borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he what? He rose with all power in his hand. And he said, go into the upper room. Get there and be on one accord in the book of Acts. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So the Father bore witness, right, when he was baptized. The Father bore witness when he died on the cross. And the third one, the Father bore witness when he was resurrected from on high. And we received that witness. We received that witness in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when he talks about, back in our text, when he talks about, for there are three that bear witness, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Listen. He says there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and we're going to get there. We're going to get to the Word. We're going to get to the Word. And the Holy Ghost, that's in heaven. And listen, and then there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. We talked about the water, right? That was when he was baptized. We talked about the blood. That was when he was crucified on the cross. John chapter 12. Listen, you want to talk about the witness, right? Because there were those that came to see Jesus Christ. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. This is John 20:24. It abides alone. But if it die, bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And then verse 27. He says, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I came unto this hour. He said, Father, glorify thy name. And then there came a voice. Where? From where? From heaven. Okay. That's important. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore stood by. They heard it. And some said it thundered, others said an angel spoke, but Jesus said, this voice came not for me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So that was the Father's witness. That was the Father's witness. The Son. And listen, that witness, he said it wasn't for Jesus, but that witness was for us. The witness at Jesus' baptism was for us. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The witness in John chapter 12, that was for us. And so if we go back to 1 John chapter 5, there are three that bear witness in heaven. There are three that bear witness in earth. And check out verse 9, John chapter 5, 1 John 5. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness. Yo, we got a witness. We have a witness living on the inside of us. We ought not look like, act like, feel like, depress like everybody else. We've got a witness on the inside. People are looking for acceptance and looking for all these things. You see how God validated the Son. Amen. He gave a witness for us to know that the Son was accepted. And guess what, y'all? Now that witness lives in us. Y'all know how? Let's turn John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. Amen. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things the Father hath of mine, therefore I shall, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Amen. Verse 7, John chapter 16 said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me to go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. Mm-hmm. If I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. That's the convictor of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe on me not, of righteousness because I go to the Father, and you shall see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is already judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you. He will guide us into all truth. He will manifest himself in us. He won't speak of himself, but only the things that he hears of the Father, he will be in us. Amen. And so that's the witness. That's the witness. Amen. He, in verse 10, back in 1 John chapter 5, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not on the record that God hath of his Son. And that's why we can talk about in John chapter 3:36, we read it last week, that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is where? It abideth on him. It remains on him. But guess what, y'all? We've passed from that realm. We've passed from darkness. We've passed to life. And not only that, we have the witness on the inside. Back in our text, 1 John chapter 5:11 says, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life. Last week, we talked about that eternal life is not just a place. That eternal life is not just when we get eternal life. But y'all know we have eternal life right now. Amen. John chapter 5:24 says this. 5:24 says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, you already have it. If you believe in Jesus, he lives on the inside, you possess eternal life. Paul told Timothy, lay hold to eternal life. And you shall not come into condemnation, but your past. From death unto life. Amen. And he that hath the Son, we're back in our text. He that hath the Son hath life. We have life. We don't have to get a life. We don't need a pill to bring us up. Amen. And that's why, listen, we have life. He that hath the Son hath eternal life. He that hath not the Son of God have not life. We have life. Jesus said, I come that you may have what? Life. And have it more abundantly. He that have the Son have life. We got life. Listen. This word of God, meditating on the word of God, it brings me joy. When I can love my enemies, when he says, these things have I written unto you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is how you'll know that you have eternal life. There's three things. The first thing we already talked about, we have the witness of the word. We have the witness. John 16:13, I already read it. And Romans 8:16, we have the witness, amen, and it's the word of God that stirs, loving the word, falling in love, and obeying his word. It's the word. Listen, the word by faith, it stirs up the gift when we obey God, because his commandments are not grievous. So we have the witness of the word. Not only that, but number two, we have the witness of answered prayer. That's why he talks about in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. So we have the witness of answered prayer. And number three, we have the witness that we love our enemies. So we have the witness of the word. We have the witness of answered prayer. And number two, we have the witness that we love our enemies. That's how you know that you have eternal life. And is there anybody other than me that you can say down in your soul, there was somebody that had you had problems with in the past, that you know when you saw them coming your way, there will be a strike going across your heart. And now when you see that same person, you can say, hallelujah, the resentment that I had, the harbors that I had, the rejection and all these feelings and all these things that I used to feel in my heart against that person, I don't have it anymore. You got a witness. Listen, that's how you know. All right, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We talk about we pass from death unto life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we what? We love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Amen. You abideth in death. Verse 3, John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16 says, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. This is how you know you pass from death to life. Chapter 2. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 says this. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even to now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not where he goes, because that darkness hath blinded his eye. And how in the world can there be people sitting up in church, coming on the line for Bible study all their lives, and they're still not speaking to people in their family? There ought to be something in us that compels the light of Jesus Christ, that compels the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says the love of Christ dispels darkness. Men hide out in darkness because their deeds are wicked. We can't listen. The Bible says when you come to the altar with your gift, leave your gift at, if the your brother has an ought with you, you got to leave your gift at the altar that you may get that thing right. And I'm telling y'all, listen, it's a blessing. You know there's somebody you used to have a problem with, but you can come to the point and forgive them and love them and do for them, guess what? I'm telling you, it does my heart good to know where God has superseded my love that I can love somebody else. Amen. Amen. How in the world was Jesus getting ready to go to the cross the next day? And he says, the new commandment I give unto you, that's the acid test. Amen. He says, love your enemies. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. even as what? As I have loved you. Listen, we gotta love our enemies. It's gotta be his love. That's how this world is gonna get changed. By the love of Christ in us, we gotta die. We've gotta be crucified. It's love that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And it's gotta be love. And this is what John is saying. This is how you know that you've passed from death into life. And if there's somebody that you still have a problem with that you have not forgiven, I don't care what they've done to you, you got to be able to love. Amen. Everybody ain't in the church like you. Everybody don't know the word like you. But you know the word. You know the word. The word lives in you. You got to embrace them, starting with your own family. You got to love them. Amen. Act sanctimonious. Start speaking Christianese around them. Love them. And tell them the truth. Because the truth can't come till you love them. Some people can't hear the truth. You got to love them and tell them the truth. Tell them in grace. Tell them in love. But give them the truth. Amen. And don't give up on them. Give up on us. Listen. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Listen. It's all over this book. Listen, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. You got to be speaking a different language. You got to be speaking the love of Christ language. Amen. You are of God, and you know God. God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen? That loveth not. No, of my God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. He loved us unconditionally. He rescued us when we were at our worst state. Listen, if he can reconcile me, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. But he loved me. He commended a love. While we were yet sinners. And guess what? We have to do the same. So many people have so many excuses. What their wife did and what their children did and what their mama did. Later for the excuses. All excuses were nailed to the cross. That goes to excuses that the world had against you and excuses that you got against somebody else. Gotta love. Here is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love one another. Listen, Community Baptist. Whoever, no man hath seen God at any time. But if we what? Love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is what? Perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. Amen. That last point is crucial. When he says, this is the witness that we have. These things I write unto you. The three witnesses are the witness of the word, the witness of answered prayer, and the witness that we love our enemies. Those are the points. Those are the three witnesses. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You see how he called Jesus Christ the Word? Listen, and it's the Word that does it. There are three that bear the witness on earth. What are they?
The water, the blood, and the
Spirit. And they both agree where? They all agree in one. Three that bear witness in heaven, three that bear witness in earth. And if we receive, verse 9, the witness, we have that witness of God is greater than the witness of men. We have the witness living on the inside. And the way we know we have that witness is the witness of the word. The word stirs in our heart. We have the witness of answered prayer. And then we have the witness that we love our enemies. Amen. That's it.